This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In a new report on the lack of disclosure related to contributions for Michigan Supreme Court and State Attorney General, Michigan Campaign Finance Network Director Rich Robinson concludes that Michigan has won the race to the bottom when it comes to campaign finance transparency related to the administration of justice. The report on unreported and unregulated spending is called Dark Money and Justice. Michigan is like no other state. Rich Robinson, thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Gordon.
So how did Michigan reach what you call the bottom?
Well, we have had this culture of unreported, unregulated television advertising in our Supreme Court campaigns in particular since the turn of the century. There were a couple spots, 2004, 2006, where it wasn't a particularly large factor because the majority on the court wasn't particularly at stake in the election. But other than that, it's been a feature of our Supreme Court election campaigns really since 2000. It's been relatively less common in our attorney general campaigns, but it's also been a big factor in the last two campaigns, as it was in the 2002 campaign between Gary Peters and Mike Cox. But the Supreme Court thing is a long-term trend. Over the period from 2000 through 2014, the spending that I have been able to verify by both records in the State Bureau of Elections and from broadcasters' public files around Michigan is spending of about $70 million, and over half of that has been unreported, unregulated spending. So the problem with that is that if we don't know who donors are, we don't know when they are involved in cases that are decided by the justices that may have been supported by major donors. And that mirrors a U.S. Supreme Court case, Caperton against Massey Coal Company, where the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that a judge in the circumstance of judging a case involving a major donor is obligated to recuse from that case because it really violates the legal opponent's due process right to an impartial court hearing.
I want to get into that just a little bit more in a moment, but I also want to go back to what you said about being able to verify this spending, because you do say in your report that, if anything, the numbers that you are using are probably conservative in terms of unreported money. Why is that?
Well, it's absolutely the case. Let me give you an example. The U.S. Postal Service doesn't have a public file where I can go and find out what political mail has been processed vis-a-vis any candidates. But in the 2012 Michigan Supreme Court election campaign, I collected 13 different and unique mail pieces from the Michigan Republican Party, two of which were disclosed. And I would say conservatively, that unreported mail probably amounted to close to another $1 million. In addition to that, there has been radio advertising. For example, in the last election cycle, I heard radio advertisements about the Supreme Court candidates sponsored by the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. But there are just too many radio stations for me to visit and collect those data. So I've taken the television spending as kind of a conservative proxy number to represent the great factor that unreported, unregulated spending is in these election campaigns.
So when you talk about judges hearing cases from people who have likely contributed in a way to help them win election, but of course done it in a way that their identity isn't known, is this what you mean by dark money being a bridge to corruption, as you say in the report?
Well, it is. And to state it more gently, let me put it this way. I view transparency as inoculation against corruption. We just don't know who the donors are for this unreported spending. But, you know, realistically, one needs to acknowledge that who has a greater incentive to help elect a judge who will provide their view of predictable jurisprudence, and they could feel likely would decide a case in their favor. And that would be somebody with a high-stakes appeal in the pipeline. And while that donor certainly has a First Amendment right to spend as much as they want, they don't have a right to have their favored, supported judge hear their case. And that's where we're into a question that's really kind of an ethical swamp, and we really need to drain that swamp.
I was talking with someone a while back about this issue, and they raised the question to me, well, are you sure that the judges know who has contributed to some group which is, running ads on their behalf? I mean, how much is behind the curtain that is known to the judges as opposed to what's known to us and the general public?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, but I have talked with partisan players on both sides who have told me they studiously attempt to keep knowledge of who the donors are from the judges. But, for example, there was a case relevant to the 2000 Supreme Court campaign where we first started having dark money advertising. And after that election, the Wall Street Journal ran a story about Daimler Chrysler having given $1 million to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who in turn gave $1 million to the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, who in turn bought quote-unquote, issue advertising supporting the Republican candidates in that election. Subsequently, those same Republican justices decided a case that amounted at the time to a $29 million damage judgment against Daimler Chrysler. Now, do we know that it was Daimler Chrysler's $1 million that made that circuit onto the airwaves? Well, we really don't, because the U.S. Chamber said they were active in other states. But if you look where Daimler Chrysler had cases, Michigan was the only one of their targeted states that did. And they didn't have any cases on appeal in front of state Supreme Courts in the other targeted states. So it doesn't look good. As I mentioned, that was front page above the fold in the Wall Street Journal. It also happened to be September 11th, 2001, and it was a very short news cycle that day. But there is enough doubt as to whether the judges can be truly kept from that knowledge. And whatever the case, should it be that someone can pay for the judge's campaign, and if they can keep it secret, then they can have the judge who they hired hear their case? I don't think that gets us to an ethical high point, even if that kind of mystery still remains in the source of the contribution.
You also tell us in this report that the idea of issue advocacy is bogus. Why is it bogus?
Well, in the federal case decided by the United States Supreme Court to allow corporate money back into electioneering advertising, the advertisements about federal candidates immediately preceding an election, the whole discussion about this was that issue advocacy is what we would call grassroots lobbying, where the sponsor of the ad seeks to mobilize the viewer to contact a public official who can act on a matter of policy and make the change in the policy. The problem with that whole paradigm is that in Michigan, at least, judges are not lobbyable officials. You do your advocacy with a judge in the courtroom, not over the airwaves. And so the idea that somehow this is trying to move public policy being decided by these elected officials is just false on its face. And I really think that this is a question that may be open to litigation. I would love to see somebody take this question on.
Just to continue that, the idea is that lobbying is something that is more generally done with state lawmakers to try to influence their vote on a bill. That sort of thing, where you might do issue advocacy, you know, tell Congressman so-and-so to make sure to vote no on, et cetera, is a different sort of thing, even if that is fraught with problems, compared to trying to do that with a judge.
That's right. One set of what passed as issue ads in the 2014 election cycle was that Americans for Prosperity ran a series of ads criticizing the Affordable Care Act and telling viewers to call Gary Peters, who had been a supporter of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and tell him this is ruining their lives or whatever kind of extreme statement went along with it. Now, one can question whether that was really an ad about the Affordable Care Act or whether it was an ad about Gary Peters' suitability to be a U.S. senator. But nonetheless, there is absolutely plausibility that it was authentic issue advocacy trying to move him to vote to repeal Obamacare. There's no such plausible scenario in a judicial election campaign. It's just false completely from the get-go.
So if Michigan wanted to do something about this, Rich, if there was interest in saying that maybe there cannot be the limits on spending that existed pre-Citizens United decision before the Supreme Court, but as much as possible, spending that is done is going to be transparent and known to the public, what could be done?
Well, a solid attempt was made to do something about it. The State Bar of Michigan, through its officers, asked Secretary of State Ruth Johnson to revisit an interpretation of our state statute that defines what is and is not reportable. Secretary Johnson concluded that, well, their case or the premise for their request was judicial campaigns because of the unsettling amount of dark money in our judicial campaigns. She couldn't make a ruling about just judicial campaigns, but she said, this is correct. We're missing all this disclosure and all of this spending. And she stated her intent to begin an administrative review process to require disclosure of what amounts to phony issue advocacy. The very morning she stated her intent, the Senate Elections Committee, chaired by Senator Arlen Meekhoff, reported out of its committee an amendment to the definition of what a campaign expenditure was. It passed the legislature, and going against a position he had established as a candidate in 2010, Governor Snyder signed that bill into law, essentially killing what would have been an administrative process that would have brought disclosure. So the legislative environment doesn't look good. Every vote that passed that bill was a Republican vote, and they have solid majorities in both chambers of the legislature. The only route to solve this problem in the near term, I think, for the foreseeable future, would be a citizen initiative. And the question then becomes, is this too small bore to excite citizens? Now, people are absolutely unsettled about the large amounts of money, the large contributions from a relative few number of sources, and the lack of disclosure. You can't do anything with the current Supreme Court of the United States about the spending level by individuals or interest groups or the aggregating of billionaires' contributions through super PACs. But you could do something about disclosure, and I just don't know whether that's enough to really animate the public and get people mobilized to do something about it. Ballot initiatives are extremely expensive propositions, and there are very resourceful opponents to disclosure who I think would spend tens of millions of dollars to oppose such an initiative. So it's not a pretty picture right now. It's not, there's not cause for a lot of optimism. The one thing that I do see is that this notion of issue advocacy in a judicial campaign is so clearly a falsehood that I think that really is worth litigation.
Just to go back for a moment to that idea of a ballot proposal, is the irony here that launching a ballot proposal usually requires a big chunk of money to begin with, and then you need more money on top of that to try and advertise and get it passed. So is money, in effect, a roadblock to trying to have greater disclosure of who is spending in judicial campaigns?
It absolutely is. I think that over the past several years, maybe two decades, really the only time you've had ballot initiatives collect their required signatures through grassroots organization have been those that have been sponsored by Right to Life. Everybody else hires petition circulators, and I think the rule of thumb is you better count on having $2 million to pay the petition circulators to get the required number of signatures to put an issue on the ballot. So that's just a start. And then I think in this case, you'd have to count on having well into eight figures to be able to run a winning campaign. And you could count on being outspent in that campaign. So there's so much money in politics now, and so much of it, in the state of Michigan at least, is undisclosed, that we've really got, as I said earlier, I think an ethical swamp surrounding this whole question of money in politics.
Rich Robinson, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Rich Robinson is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. You can find a link to their report, Dark Money and Justice, Michigan is Like No Other State, at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.